Nadayanam namaskritya nanam cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, Text Number 50. Tad Eva Ramyam Ruchiram Navam Navam Tad Eva Shashwan Manaso Mahotsavam Tad Eva Shokanava Shoshanam Nrinam Yad Uttama Shloka Yasho Nugiyate Tad Eva Ramyam Ruchi Ram Navam Navam Tad Eva Shashwan Manaso Mahotsavam Tad Eva Shokanava Shoshanam Nrinam Yad Uttama Shloka Yasho Nugiyate That Eva, indeed. Ramyam, attractive. Ruchiram, palatable. Navam, navam, newer and newer. Tat, that. Eva, indeed. Shashwat, constantly. Manasa, for the mind. Maha Utsavam, a great festival. Tat, that. Eva, indeed. Shoka Aranava, the ocean of misery. Shoshanam, that which dries. Nrinam, for all persons. Yat, in which. Uttama Shloka, of the all famous Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasha, the glories. Anugiyate, Asang. Translations by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous Personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. Translation responsibly. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous Personality of Godhead. Are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. Umagyan timanandasya ginunjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svabhadantikam vancha kalpati rubyascha kripa sindhu bhivacha Petitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Rama Hare Hare. So the Bhagavatam is about to finish. This is the second last chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Remember when I joined the temple in 1989, we were studying the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. So it takes us about 20 years in our morning classes to go through it, all the way through. So please stay around for another 20 years. Very soon we'll begin the first canto once again. They're very auspicious. When the canto finishes, or when the canto begins, it's very auspicious like that. So we're just about to finish the Bhagavatam. So actually it's a great yogya, because Srila Prabhupada, he desired that the Srimad Bhagavatam be recited in the temple every day. So Prabhupada established these temples all over the world. He did great austerity, great tapasya to establish these temples. Recently we went to the opening of the I'm a little tired, so I have to think about what I'm saying. We went to the 40th anniversary of the installation of Radha Gopinath in Sydney. They were the first Radha Krishna deities to come to Australia. So when you hear the story of how much tapasya Srila Prabhupada went through to bring those deities to Australia, I mean, it was incredible. He was 1972. So then Prabhupada was 75, 76 years old at that time. And he brought the deities to Australia. It took 24 hours for him of travel with practically no facility. And he brought the deities here and then installed them. And then when he left, he said, "I'm praying to you, Krishna, to give them intelligence." Because they were just 1 or 2 year old devotees, brand new devotees, and Prabhupada's leaving Radha Krishna with them. And he's saying, "They're malechas. I'm leaving you in the hands of the malechas. No previous experience in Krishna consciousness. No connection to the Vedic civilization. Untouchable classes of people. And I'm leaving you with them. Please give them intelligence to worship you nicely." And then Prabhupada, practically, then he was off to his next destination, going off to his next place to preach like that. So incredible tapasya that Prabhupada performed to establish this movement. No one else could have done it. No one else could have done it except Narad Muni, and people of this caliber, of devotees of this caliber. No one else could have done what Prabhupada did. So Prabhupada, he worked so hard. So he established these temples. And then in 1973, then he... Oh, sorry. 71 that he... Yeah, sorry. That he established Radha Gopinath. Yeah. I'm a little tired. hard to add things up. Which year is it? By the way. So in 1973, then Prabhupada brought Radha Ballabha here to Melbourne. And they were installed in St Kilda, which is not far from here, only 5 or 6 kilometres from here, just down in that direction. Prabhupada installed Radha Ballabha. And then they moved to this temple in 1975, and that's when he installed Gauranitai in this temple. So Prabhupada worked so hard to establish these centres these temples all over the world. Many, many, many temples like this all over the world. I mean, this temple's exceptional, actually, because the standard of deity worship, which has been established in this temple and maintained by Korma Prabhu, by Balaram Prabhu, by Aniruddha Prabhu, by Chinchurupa Mataji, and many devotees, sincere devotees helping, very high standard, which Prabhupada established. And Prabhupada desired that these temples would be maintained. He established many of these temples around the world. And this temple in particular has maintained a very high standard of worship of Krishna for many, many years. So, Prabhupada's desire was that the deity, he knew that if he brought the deity and he put the deity here, and if they stayed here permanently, then Krishna consciousness would spread. If the devotee, if the deities are served offensively, if they're served properly, on behalf of the Acharyas, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, now Gurus, then Krishna consciousness will spread. It will grow. So then Prabhupada, he said that the reason I have established these temples is that so hearing and chanting of Krishna can go on. That's why Prabhupada established this. He placed the deities here so that we would all come and worship them, and so that we would hear and chant about Krishna. That is the purpose of the temple. Prabhupada actually says, he said that if the temple just turns into deity worship, in other words, if the deity is being worshipped, but there is no hearing and chanting going on in the temple, Prabhupada said, eventually everything will stop and everyone will begin to smoke. He was talking about ganja. You'll just turn into some, you know, bogus sadhus, some hippies. Prabhupada actually said that. He said, if you worship the deity, but you're not doing hearing and chanting, it'll stop in the future. It won't continue. Because you won't get your sustenance. You won't get your nourishment. You just hear, you just chant. Sorry, you just worship the deity. But if there's no hearing and chanting simultaneously, Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg and Bhagavad Vidhi Marg simultaneously must go on. Deity worship and hearing and chanting must go hand in hand. Both must be there. We must worship the deities opulently, sincerely, with affection and devotion, with bhakti, and we must hear and chant about Krishna simultaneously. So this was Prabhupada's desire. So it is a great yajna to keep all of this going. It is a great tapasya. And Prabhupada established many of these temples around the world, and then many more temples have been established around the world. And amongst all of those temples in the world, this temple has one of the highest standards in the whole of our movement. It has one of the highest standards. So I've been to quite a few of the temples around this time, and I don't find many that are comparable to this temple in terms of the deity worship and the entire project and what takes place. Very powerful temple. Now, simultaneously with it being a powerful temple, devotees sometimes say it is very intense in this particular temple. So that is true. It is very intense in this particular temple. Has anyone experienced that? It's very intense. Some deities in some temples, they have a different mood, but Radha Balaba have a very particular mood. It's a very high standard, and you have to come up to that standard. Right? So it's intense. It's like when you're high jumping in athletics, and you do the high jump, and they raise the bar. So then it becomes intense. It's not easy to get over that bar. You have to work hard to get over that. So it's like that. The standard here is very high, and it is a very intense place. But devotional service, when it is done intensely, and actually Rupa Goswami recommends that devotional service be intense. He says that if devotional service is intense, then the purification is intense. You will advance more rapidly. Just like if a fire is burning, and you need to purify a metal. Just like if the metal is alloy, which means a mixture of metals, then you have to heat the metal melt the metal and then separate the metals like that. So it requires a great amount of heat, right? So actually this word tapa, we say tapasya. Tapa means heat. Tapa in Sanskrit, it means heat. It means fire, increasing the fire. So if you increase the fire of tapo divyam, of transcendental austerity, performed on behalf of Krishna, then what will take place? Purification will take place more rapidly. Just like if you want to separate the metals, if you put the metals in the center of the fire, they will melt rapidly, and you will get the result quickly. If you keep it away from the fire, then the result will not take place quickly. So similarly, in devotional service, when devotional service becomes intense, the purification becomes intense. It becomes rapid. You make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. Whereas, if you take it easy in devotional service, if you fall asleep, and if you take it easy in devotional service, then it will take time to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You won't advance quickly. If you want to stay just on the outside of the fire, if you just want to warm your hands on the outside, devotional service is very nice. No problem. Very nice. Nice and warm. Very nice. I can come to the temple. I can take a little prasad. Prasad is always there. 3, 4, 5 times a day. 7 times a day. Yeah, I can come there. I can take prasad. I can live in Bhakti Bhavan. Or anywhere. I can live somewhere near the temple. And I can just come down at all the right times. I'm very punctual. Prabhupada said you have to be punctual. I always come right on time. 9 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 5:30. I'm always there. Pakka. First class. No problem. Like that. And I can go to the artis. Nice artis are here also. And devotees do nice kirtan. I can go to the classes and fall asleep, no problem. I can go there. Nice classes are there. I sleep through all of them. They're very nice. So you can just warm your hands on the side very nicely. No, but if you want to make advancement, you have to jump in to the center of the fire. You have to make devotional service intense. Now, how does devotional service become intense? Devotional service becomes intense when you take responsibility. Right? Now, that's what Prabhupada expected. Prabhupada took responsibility. Prabhupada was not whimsical. Right? There was a mission to be fulfilled. And Prabhupada, he was missionary. He was completely focused. This movement must spread. So he took responsibility. Right? He was there for his service every day. Right? Prabhupada went to bed at 10:30 every day and got up at 12:30 every day. And translated the Bhaktivedanta purports every day, right, without fail. That was his service to his guru. So this is how you, and he taught us this example, this is how you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You have to take responsibility. You're given a service in the temple and you take responsibility to do the service. Just like sometimes we go to India and we go to the holy Dham and we go to some Gaudiya Vaishnava temples. And sometimes you go to the temples, and in that temple, the pujari has been worshipping the deity for 50 years. Same pujari. 60 years. Even some temples I've been to, 70 years. Same pujari is worshipping the deity. Since he was 20 years old, now he's 90. That's bhakti. That's what Prabhupada expected. That's the kind of commitment it takes if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? You have to take responsibility. You're given a responsibility. Right? You can't ring up and say, oh, I feel tired today, I can't do my service. I'm tired. You know, I am mental today. I can't do my service. My mind is too mental. Like that. I can't do my service. All these obstacles are actually Maya trying to stop us from serving Krishna. Prabhupada said that sleep and sickness are Maya stopping us doing our service. Sometimes we sleep too much. We oversleep. And that is Maya stopping us from doing our service. Sometimes we get sick. That is Maya stopping us from doing our service. Prabhupada insisted that devotees take care of their health. You have to be healthy. You have to look after your material body. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the body is a yantra. Yantra means... Do you want some water? Yeah, you can listen. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the material body is a yantra. Yantra means machine. Just like we have a car. You have to look after the car, right? Every 10,000 kilometers, it gets serviced. You keep it clean. You keep it maintained. Then the machine is reliable, right? So similarly, our body is a machine. It is yantra. You have to keep it healthy, because it is meant to be used to serve Krishna. This body belongs to Krishna. You want to just get that? Yeah. Sorry. This body belongs to Krishna. It doesn't belong to us. The body belongs to the Guru. It belongs to Krishna. So it must be maintained so that we can do our service properly, nicely. So this is how we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We become reliable in devotional service. Now, this is very auspicious because the 12th canto is just about to finish. So this is a great jagya. The Bhagavatam has been recited from beginning to end. I think the first time in the history of this temple it has gone from beginning to end. Because previously, the last time, when I joined, they were doing the 11th canto. So that means they've gone from canto 1 to canto 11, but they skipped 10th canto. They did not do the 10th canto when they went through that time. So they've gone through it since this temple has been here. This is probably the third time, maybe it's finished, or maybe the second time, I'm not sure. But this might be the second time the Bhagavatam has gone through. But the first time they did not do the 10th canto. So it was not complete in a sense. This time we went through everything, every verse. So now we're getting to the end of the jagya. So how pleasing is this to Srila Prabhupada? This is why Prabhupada established this movement. Prabhupada said, I established the temples so that people could come and they could hear and chant about Krishna. What is the point if you come? Just like there are temples around the world, and in India particularly, you come, but there's no hearing and chanting about Krishna. You go there and you see the aarti. That's it. And you get some prasad, bus. That's the temple. You know, that's not why the Goswamis established these temples. They were not established that you simply come and see the aarti, right? And then you take a little prasad and then you leave. Then that just becomes Hinduism. That just becomes ritualistic. Right? But there's no deep purification which takes place. Right? Some purification takes place. But the real purification takes place when people come and they hear and chant about Krishna. So Prabhupada must be so satisfied that the devotees have done this jagya. Every day, this Bhagavatam is being spoken. Even in some of our temples around the world, the Bhagavatam class is not there every day. Because they don't have manpower, or they don't have like that. It's a great jagya to keep this going every day. And it has been done very successfully. So we have to give great credit to Anirudha Prabhu and Achintyarupa Manaji and all the sincere devotees who have kept this going, keep this temple going. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is like the Indian railway. Not entirely like the Indian railway. Something like the Indian Railway. What is the motto of the Indian Railway? The motto is that every person in the company, it is their responsibility to keep the trains going, to keep the railway going, to keep the system going. Even if the train is 24 hours late. That's where we're different. Prabhupada did not like that part. Prabhupada was very punctual. Do you ever hear any pastime where Prabhupada is late? There's no pastime where Prabhupada's late. Do you ever hear any pastime where Prabhupada's running across the courtyard? Sometimes you see the devotees running across the courtyard to get to the deity room or to bring the offering out. You never hear any pastime where Prabhupada's running. Oh, I'm late. Like that. No pastime is there. You never hear any pastime where Prabhupada is late. Where is the pastime? We see it all the time. Devotees running across the courtyard. This way, that way. Like that. Oh, I forgot this. Where's the pastime where Prabhupada forgot something? Where's the pastime? Just like I said to one of the devotees at the farm. I left the farm a couple of weeks ago. And I said, I'm coming back in a few days. I have to go to Melbourne to teach the course. I said, I want you to do this thing. I only gave him one thing. I said, I want you to do this. I came back 2 days later. I said, did you do it? He said, oh, I forgot. What is this? This is nonsense. One thing you were given, and you cannot remember that. Where is the example where Prabhupada forgets something? Srila Prabhupada, he had some money in a bank account. Prabhupada had many bank accounts. Because Prabhupada would travel all over the world, disciples would give him money, he put money in the accounts. He had accounts also. So he had one account, which I think was a fixed term deposit account, which meant you had to keep the money in there for 7 years. And on the day, 7 years after the money had been in the account, then Prabhupada said to his secretary, go and withdraw that money. Right? He didn't even have it written down. It was just in his mind. After 7 years, on the day, then Prabhupada said, go and get that money. That account is matured now. Go and get the money and put it in the other account. Right? This was Prabhupada's standard. This was his system. So it is our responsibility to keep this movement, the Sankirtan movement, going. It must not stop. The deity worship must not stop. The Bhagavatam must not stop. The preaching must not stop. The prasadam distribution must not stop. The Harinam Sankirtan must not stop. The book distribution must not stop. Vaishnav Seva must not stop. Tulsi Puja must not stop. Everything must not stop. That is our responsibility. So that is our motto. Just like the Indian Railway. Except that we're on time. That's the difference. Because Prabhupada was on time. He was always like that. So we should not disappoint Srila Prabhupada. Everything must continue, but the way he wanted it to continue. Prabhupada had his particular standards that he wanted. What was the most important thing that he emphasized when you worship the deity? Cleanliness and punctuality. Must be clean, must be punctual. Like that. So Prabhupada is greatly satisfied that this Bhagavatam has been spoken continuously now for last 20 years, and we're just about to finish the Bhagavatam. So it's very auspicious. Very auspicious. Bhagavatam just about to finish. Another chapter and then that's it. Very auspicious. And then very auspicious, what's going to happen? We don't say, okay, that's it. So it's done now. Job's done. No, then it begins again. And who will be here next time it finishes? Who will be here in 20 years? Yeah, you'd love to be here. Imagine who will come every day for the next 20 years and hear all the shlokas. Mahatma Prabhu. He comes every day. He comes every day. Every day he comes. to hear the Bhagavatam. This is the point of human life. So it is said in this particular verse, interesting, because the Bhagavatam is just being, this chapter is called Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized. It is a summary of everything which has been spoken, and you'll see some of the verses are repetitions of earlier verses from the first canto and so forth. Shukadeva Goswami is repeating. So he's summarizing the whole thing. So then he's repeating some of these verses again. Very important point, because he's summarizing the entire philosophy once again. Now in this particular verse, he says, those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality of Godhead are attractive. Attractive means Ramyam, Rama. What is one of Krishna's names is Rama. What does it mean? Yeah, the reservoir of pleasure. So Krishna is known as Rama, which here is translated as attractive. Krishna is known as Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. Or Rama, the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna is attractive. So hearing the Bhagavatam is attractive. You must develop, as it says, Ram, and then the next word which is used is Ruchiram. Ruchiram means palatable, means tasty. Just like when you're honoring prasad, sometimes the prasad is very tasty, so then what do? Just say you get some nice prasad, right? And it's very, very tasty. Then what do?
Overeating.
What?
Overeating, too much eating.
Yeah, in other words, you have some more. Right? if you taste it, it's very nice, you say, okay, I'll have some more. Right? And you're full. You've just had the feast, and 36 preparations have come around. Right? But if there's one prasad that you really like, then you can still take it. No problem. I remember when I was young, because I'm quite well known for taking a lot of prasad. I think I'm one of the record holders in ISKCON for taking prasad. How much, if you add it all up over the years, how much I've taken, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some people who have been around longer who ate more, but I don't know. But I think I'm up there. I'm not, because in Bengal they really eat a lot. Some of the Bengalis really eat much. Even I sit next to them and I think, my God. they eat a lot. So, yeah, it's not true. I cannot claim like that. But still, I can take a lot. I remember one time, probably more than one time, but I remember one time in particular. Then we had big feast, like a lot, a lot, big feast, like no problem, just take it all. And then we had gulab eating competition. So my favorite is gulab jamun. That's my favorite. So then I ate 36. That's after the feast. No problem. I was young then, so if I do it now, maybe I will not get up for 2 weeks. But back then, no problem. So that is called ruchi. Ruchi means taste. If you have taste, then you can have so much. So we need to get this taste for Bhagavatam and Harinam. This means Vasudev Katha Ruchi. Bhagavatam says first canto. You must get taste for Bhagavatam. I must have more. Just like when you're taking the feast. Oh, give me more. Do you want some more? Yeah, a bit more. So, do you want some more? Yeah, no problem. You want some more? Yeah, okay, keep going. So much, it's so nice, you just cannot stop. So Bhagavatam must become like that. Harinam must become like that. When you're chanting, it should be this taste. Yes, I want to keep going. I want more of this. I want to experience more of this nectar. Amrita, Duni. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Amrita Duni. It is like a river of Amrit, of nectar. Like that. So, hearing the Bhagavatam should become like this. We should hear the Bhagavatam. It should be attractive and relishable, as it says in this verse. We want to hear. That's why we can keep the Bhagavatam going. How can you keep this class going for 20 years, now 30 years, 40 years in this temple, if there's no taste? Devotees have taste. Why do you come? You have taste. Now increase the taste. Develop your taste. Get the same taste for chanting the holy name. Get a taste for chanting that you cannot stop chanting. Just like the taste that you have for your favorite prasadam. Like my taste for gulab jamuns. I wish I had that taste for chanting. Gulab jamuns, no problem. Chanting I have to still work on. So work on this, get the taste for chanting. Right? Then it says, Krishna's pastime or hearing the Bhagavatam is Navam Navam. Navam Navam means newer and newer. Nava, new. Ever fresh. Krishna's pastimes are ever fresh. His words are ever fresh. That's why you can read the Bhagavad Gita or you can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again, and still you will always get fresh realizations from it. Krishna was given a benediction by his guru, Sandipani Muni, that whatever he speaks, it will be ever fresh. Krishna did not need a benediction because already that is there. But his guru gave him that blessing when he left the ashram of his guru. He said, whatever you speak, it will be ever fresh. It will always be nectarian. So whenever we read the Bhagavatam, it is always fresh. It is always new, because every time you read it, you'll get some fresh realization. And then it says, indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. Mahotsavam. It is described that the spiritual world is Maha Mahotsav. Just like there's one book by Jiva Goswami, Madhava Mahotsav. What is it like in the spiritual world? In Goloka Vrindavan, right now. It is Mahotsav. Just like soon we have Janmashtami. So what is Janmashtami like? Mahotsav. You know what it's like on Janmashtami? You know that feeling? You come to Mangalati and you can't even get in the temple? That's what it's like in the spiritual world every day. That feeling. Mahotsav. Big festival every day. Always. And then when there's Janmashtami in the spiritual world, then it multiplies. It gets even bigger. Ever expanding. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. And Mahaprabhu says, ever expanding, unlimitedly increasing, ocean of bliss. That is the spiritual world. So hearing the Bhagavatam is like that. How can you fall asleep in the Bhagavatam class if it's an ocean of bliss? Would you fall asleep at Mangalati on Janmashtami? Can you imagine? No, not possible. So how can you fall asleep in the Bhagavatam class? If you're too tired, then go and take rest. That's okay. If you're too tired, if you didn't get enough rest, then you go and rest. But don't sleep in the Bhagavatam class. That means you're not relishing. It means you've not developed your taste. It is a Mahotsav. The spiritual world comes out every time. Like that. And then it says, it dries up the ocean of misery. Because this material world is Dukkhalayam, Shashvatam. Krishna says, it is dukkha. And if you say, well, it's not so bad, the only reason you're saying it's not so bad is because you're young. Right? You just stick around a couple of decades and it gets worse. My spiritual master said just before he left this world, he said, everyone keeps saying that everything will get better, but it gets worse. That's the material world. It just gets worse. Problems just increase. Like that. So, eventually, a devotee realizes, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna arranges that the devotee's life becomes miserable. Hands up if your material life is miserable. Many of our material lives are miserable. Even young devotees sometimes. Some devotees, they don't have miserable lives. Yet. But, someday even younger, life is, materially, it is miserable. So why does Krishna do this to us? Because he is forcing us to take shelter of him. Because then you get to a point, because it's so miserable in this material world, and so much suffering and so much anxiety, the only place that you get refuge is in the Bhagavatam, in the holy name, and worshipping the deities, and going to the holy dham, and associating with the devotees, and taking prasad. And that is the only place you get shelter. So then you think, well, Krishna, I've got nothing else in this material world. I have to surrender. And that's how Krishna forces us to surrender. Otherwise, we would not surrender. I know for myself, before I became a devotee, I read Prabhupada's books. Not all, I read one of Prabhupada's books. And I thought, oh, this is very good. Even in my mind, I thought, this is the absolute truth. But I'm not going to surrender because I have a few things I need to do in the material world. And after I do that, then I'll probably come and do this. But then Krishna said, no. I have a different plan. One person I knew, he wanted to sail a yacht, not far from here, down in Brighton, just a little bit down from here. He had a yacht. And he wanted to sail to the Mediterranean, to Greece, pick up another yacht and then sail it back. So he needed some crew to go on the yacht. So I said to him, yeah, I'll go. No problem. I'm 18, 19 years old. Yeah, I'll go. It sounds fantastic. But for 6 months, nothing happened. He had to fix the yacht. First fix it and then sail it and then bring it back. 6 months, I kept coming back to him. What's going on? Yeah, I'll help you. And it didn't happen. So then Krishna, my plans to enjoy the material world, nothing was fructifying. And then I had other plans as well. You know, I wanted to do this, do that, like that. Nothing was working. So then finally, I thought to myself, I should go to this Hare Krishna temple, see what it's actually about. And then I walked in the front gate, walked in, and I thought, what is this place? I thought, I never want to leave this place. So that is Krishna's arrangement. He makes our material life so miserable that he doesn't give you any choice. And if you try to escape, then he'll be one step ahead of you. When you try to get away, he'll be there as well. Because he does not let any devotee get away. Once you sign the contract, that's it. Contract is signed. It is said that if you chant the name of Lord Ram, because every day we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. If you chant the name of Lord Ram, even once, sincerely, Lord Ram never forgets you. That's it. It's finished. Material life is finished now. So now there's two choices. The two choices, you either do it the easy way or you do it the hard way. Either way you're going back. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, Krishna will forcibly drag you back to Godhead. So it's your choice. Either you come the easy way or you come like one of the children who doesn't behave. And sometimes the children are not behaving, the parent just grabs and says, okay, you're coming. I don't want to come, I don't want to. You're coming. Get in the car. Like this. I don't want to. Just be quiet. Like that. You don't have a choice. So it's your choice. Either you cooperate with Krishna and you go back to the spiritual. Prabhupada says in Nishapanishad, Krishna just wants us to cooperate. That's all he wants, cooperation. Prabhupada said, the proof of how much you love me is how much you cooperate after I am gone. Prabhupada just wants cooperation. Krishna just wants cooperation. If we do that, then we can go back to the spiritual world. If you don't want to do that, you can try to escape, but Krishna will, he'll be there one step ahead of you. Just like Bhakti Jeff, when I joined the temple, then 1 or 2 years after me, another devotee joined. His name was Bhakti Jeff. He lived in the ashram for about 6 months. But his mother put a lot of pressure on him. You have to come home. You can't do this. I need you at home. So then one day, she came to the temple with the car. He got in the car and he went home with his mother. Like that. But then he got home and when he went into his room, she had the whole room set up for him, like it used to be. He walked into his room, took off all his devotional clothes, his neck beads, took everything off, put on his non-devotee clothes, right? And then he turned on the radio and in his room. And on the radio, Boy George was on the radio. Bow down, Mr. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Bow down, Mr. You say Hare Krishna, I say Radhe Shyam. Like that. You can't escape. And then he thought to himself, he thought, oh my God, I just tried to escape and it's you can't escape. Krishna will be there all the time. Every time you walk around the corner, Krishna will be there. Hurry, ball. Remember me? Remember me? You can't escape. You try to escape, not possible. He will never let you go. Even you know that one story in Vrindavan? One of the Matajis, Krishna used to always come and steal butter from her house. And she used to go to Mother Yashoda and say, "Your son comes all the time and steals the butter from my house." And Mother Yashoda said, "He would never do that. He's not that kind of boy. He doesn't do that." And he said, "No, he does it." So then one day, she got him. She ran inside. Krishna was there standing there. And she grabbed him. Said, "I've got you. Now I'm taking you to Yashoda." Krishna's going, no. And he's going, "Yeah, I'm taking you." So she takes him to Yashoda. So she walks in. And Mother Yashoda is there. And says, "Now I have him, see?" And Mother Yashoda looks.
"There's your son."
And she says, "What are you talking?" Like that. And says, "I have him." And Mother Yashoda is looking. So she turns around. And it's not Krishna, it's her son. And she says, "My child." And she thinks, "What?" And Mother Yashoda, "What are you talking about?" Like that. And then she said, I don't know what happened. So then she walked out, went around the corner, and she looked down, and then Krishna was there again. And Krishna said, "If you ever do that again," he said, "next time I'll turn into your husband." Like that. So that's got nothing to do with the class, but it's a nice pastime. But the point is that if you ever try to escape, he will be there. Right? He's around every corner. Just like sometimes it's said when Hiranyakashipu, he said to Prahlad Maharaj, he said, "Is your Lord in this pillar?" So sometimes the pastime is said that Lord Nrisingadev, he put his head out from around the side of the pillar and he looked at Prahlad Maharaj. "I'm here." And then he put his head back in. And Prahlad said, "Yes, he's in the pillar." Right? And then, where? And then, boom, he came. So he's always there. You can't escape. So let's not try to escape. Let's stay here for another 20 years, finish the Bhagavatam one more time, and then we'll see what happens. And maybe we'll do it again. And then if we have to come back to the material world, let us pray that we come back and we hear the Bhagavatam again. Okay. And then life is not so bad. Because it says here, when you hear the Bhagavatam, all the miseries go away. I know for myself, sometimes the material world is miserable. But when I hear the Bhagavatam, all the miseries go away. Just like last year, I had a very miserable year, materially speaking. So many problems were there in my life. And then I went to Vrindavan. And then all the problems they went away. And I thought, where's all the problems? Like that. Where do they go? Krishna, and he takes them away. So when you hear the Bhagavatam, when you chant the holy name, when you worship the deities, when you stay in the temple or the holy dham, and when you associate with the devotees, the problems go away. So Krishna makes the problems because he's forcing you to take shelter of him. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Yeah, because it means you still have free will. Like, even when Krishna makes it difficult for you. You see, sometimes devotees, they leave, and Krishna is making it difficult for them, but still they don't surrender. Like that. So you always have free will. But Krishna will help you as much as he can. But then it's your choice at the end of the day. Right? You still have to surrender. You understand? Means? What do you mean?
Means those who are trying to become devotees, those who are practicing, those who are chanting, for them this is the case that inevitable approach of Krishna.
Yeah, of course. Krishna makes it. Krishna makes the whole material world miserable. He says, Dukala Yama Shashvatam, look at the world. Right? Look at all the problems in the world at this point in time. There's so many problems. We're in one of those countries where the problems are less at the moment. What do we have last week in Melbourne? Earthquake. Right? You ever had earthquakes in Melbourne before? I was sitting up in Andy Rudy Prabhu's office and the whole office went like this. And Prabhu, I was having a meeting with Prabhu, and he looked at me and went, oh, like this. Only 2 seconds, but you know, and he looked at me like that. Because in the back of your mind, immediately you think, subconsciously, you think, oh my God, is this going to be like Christchurch? So, you know, our life isn't so bad here at the moment, but it can change any moment. Like that. So the misery is there. Krishna creates misery for everyone in the material world to cause detachment. Without misery, generally we don't become detached. For most people. I know for myself, unless there's misery, I don't become detached. So generally we need misery to make us detached. For a devotee, Krishna gives you special misery. Mahaprasad misery. Like that. That is called kripa, mercy. Is that answering for you? Is it okay? Okay. Any other point? Yeah, because all the deities are the same, because all the deities are Krishna. So all the deities have equal power. Because the deity is Krishna. Every deity has the same power. But when the devotees worship the deity with great devotion, it seems that the deities reciprocate. Because you go to certain temples, like there's one temple just down the road from our Mayapur temple, Chandradai Mandir. It is at the Chaitanya Mat. And the deities installed there by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the deities are called Gandhavaka Giridhari. Just near the Samadhi of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in Mayapur, the Chaitanya Mat, just past the Yoga Pit, if you're going away from ISKCON, then there's Chaitanya Mat, and then his deities are there, Gandhavaka Giridhari. Those deities are very powerful. I've taken devotees there sometimes, and so much reciprocation. Because the deities are being worshipped with so much devotion, so then they reciprocate so much. So it seems that all the deities are the same, but when you worship them with so much devotion, then they give so much reciprocation. So Radha Vallabha, because they worship such a high standard, they give such powerful reciprocation. You know, in 2013, it will be 40 years since Radha Vallabha were installed in Melbourne. So the devotees are planning, Chintarupa Manaji and Andy Rudapuru, they're planning to have a big festival for the 40th anniversary. And then 2 years after that, in 2015, it's 40 years since Gornitai were installed. Does that help to answer your question? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Mahaprabhu gave us a lecture here in Melbourne. He said three things: Nam Rishit, Jivdaya, and Vaishnava Seva. So, would you like to tell us why Vaishnava Seva is so important?
Because you can't get taste for chanting Nam Ruchi. Because our whole movement is about Nam Ruchi. Right? If you look in the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, which will come up in the next few weeks. The final verse of the Bhagavatam says, Nam Sankirtana Yashya. So it says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The congregation of chanting of the holy names destroy all sinful reactions. The Naam Sankirtan, the final verse in the Bhagavatam, emphasizes chanting, Naam Sankirtan. So the whole point of the Bhagavatam is to develop Naam Ruchi. That's the whole point of Krishna consciousness, to get a taste for chanting the holy name. Now how do you get a taste for chanting the holy name? Vaishnava Seva, Jiva Doya. These are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have to preach, that is Jiva Doya. You have to serve the devotees. Prabhupada said, be a lamb at home, be a lion in the chase. When you walk out of the temple, you are a lion. What is a lion? Simha. When you walk out of the temple, you are a lion. It means you're like a lion. What does a lion do? If a lion walks down Swanson Street, what happens? Right? If a lion walks down Swanson Street, right? Everyone like, whoa, okay. So when a devotee walks down Swanson Street, it is like that. It is that boldly spreading Krishna consciousness. If a lion wants something, you just say, okay, just have it. No problem. Just no problem. Whatever you want. A devotee is like that. When he is preaching, right, he is fixed. We will spread this Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada said, like a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. When you come back, you're like a lamb. Means you just very humbly, you serve all the devotees. When you walk out of the temple, you're like a lion, like that. So Jiva Doya and Vaishnava Seva, that leads to Naam Ruchi. That's the connection between them. Are there any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.